So we acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fluffy as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yinhu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 14. You are what you knit. November 2nd, 2013. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode are located on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. If you enjoy the show, please like the Yarns at Yinhu Facebook page or join the Yarns at Yinhu group on Ravelry. You can find me on Ravelry and Twitter as Sarah Pomegranate. I welcome your suggestions and comments. This week I heard from new listeners Wushel Tigger, who's Simone from Germany, and Ziggy 519, Charlene, a relatively new knitter. She's been knitting for 3 to 4 years, and she is also the first person, I believe, to put an iTunes review up for Yarns at Yinhu. This week's episode will feature segments titled The Back Porch, The Front Porch, On the Screen, and Contests and Prizes. Well, I can't remember having a more beautiful October in this area of the United States in a long, long time. My only complaint is that it's been a little bit dry and we could probably use some more rain. But the days have been warm, the sky has been clear, the colors of the leaves have been just extraordinary. And on my walks recently, I've seen quite a bit of wildlife. This past week, as an example, I've had quite a few sightings of a pileated woodpecker. And this is walking in Shawnee, right near the Shawnee Inn in eastern Pennsylvania. And the pileated woodpecker is usually very shy. You might hear it more frequently than you would see the woodpecker. We've had quite a few sightings walking around in the area. And I also saw a black bear this week. I've heard and seen the kingfisher along the river and along our creek here at Yinhu. And also a lot of activity with the ducks. We have some nice bird life along the creek at Yinhu Chaiyuan, Silver Lake Tea House. One is that we have a resident kingfisher, and they make this chattering, almost metallic clatter sound as they fly low along the water, and then they have favorite perches in the trees above the water, and they will perch in the same branch at the same spot almost every time. So if you're lucky enough to be living or be walking near one of their favorite perches, you get to see the kingfisher. We also have a variety of mallards, and our creek is popular with the common merganser, which is a variety of duck. It's quite large. The female is brown, sort of sedate looking, but the male is just gorgeous with white and colors of shimmering green and a fascinating design on the head. And we've had quite a few merganser sightings this summer and fall. As we turn now toward November and a little bit cooler weather, we have our wood bin ready and our wood delivery has been placed, but we haven't received our delivery of firewood yet. I'm looking forward to some crisp November evenings with a slow cooked meal in the oven and a nice fire and a nice movie or something good to watch while I'm knitting. The Back Porch. It's been a while since I've recorded a typical episode, so I have several finished projects to tell you about. The first is 22 Little Clouds. It's a pattern by Martina Baim. I knit it from Frolicking Feet DK in lavender and sage color, and I used a US size 6 needle to knit this. I finished it when I was coming home on the bus from Rhinebeck, and when I took it off the needles, it rolled up like a tube. It looked like a nothing of a shawl. After blocking, however, it looks really sweet. It's a narrow shawl. It's not very deep, but the wingspan is quite long. So it functions more like a scarf. I think it would be charming worn kerchief style. And the colors are really nice lavender and sage color, just as the colorway name suggests. I think it will make a great gift. I also knit two pom-pommet hats by Stephen West and topped them with lovely, fluffy, substantial pom-poms. After watching that video, I learned how to make a pom-pom. I would never try it any other way. I'm convinced that hats look fantastic, especially hats for men, look really great with these pom-pom toppers. I made a hat with Queensland Rustic Tweed and another one with Patton's North American Classic Wool. I also topped the sockhead hat that I had finished for a while with a pom-pom as well. And this was a great way to use up some scrap yarn, experiment a little bit with color, and create some great Christmas gifts. I also finished a scrappy gnome hat. This is an excellent stash busting project by Melody Lisa. I had some Lion Brand Thick and Quick. I also had some cream colored yarn left over from a baby blanket project, and I whipped this up into a really cute hat to give as a gift or just to have around for the holidays when you want to be festive. And I might knit a few more of those. The Scrappy Gnome hat is a free pattern on Ravelry, and it comes in an adult size and also a child size. The children photographed in the Scrappy Gnome hat look freaking adorable. So if you're giving gifts to a child in your life around the holidays, I recommend a Scrappy Gnome hat. I think it would be great to take kids to get photographed for their Christmas photos or just to wear during holiday festivities. It's super cute. Your yarn is held double, so you can use up any kind of scraps you like. And using US size 13 double points, the knitting goes very quick. On the front porch this week is Christmas. It's November. We had the time change. I spent the weekend doing some chores around the house, including changing over my closets for winter clothing, putting out the bird feeders, and thinking about Christmas gift giving. All year, I knit and crochet, and my family gets a lot of hand knits for gifts. In the past, I've been doing a lot of crochet work, but since I've taken up knitting, this year, I think it's going to be exclusively hand knit items that I give as gifts, and there are about 25 people on my gift list for large and small projects. Most of them are complete. I have a few final projects to knit before I'm ready to start doing the wrapping. It's amazing how far you have to think ahead when you're giving hand-knitted items as gifts, and I'm wondering, maybe I should set up a poll. I'm wondering how many listeners of Yarns at Yin Hu are giving knitted gifts this Christmas and how you organize your gift giving and your timeline for knitting. I have an incentive to finish all of my Christmas knitting by the end of November so that I can spend December working on an Advent scarf. A friend and companion at the Knit Nights in my local yarn store, Mountain Knits and Pearls, designs an Advent scarf each year and gives out the pattern. She also makes some suggestions about yarn choices, and every day in December is devoted to knitting a portion of this Advent scarf. Since I made my comment way back in September, I think, when Laura Nelkin visited Mountain Knits and Pearls, that I had an aversion to the whole idea of a mystery knit along, I feel compelled to put my fears aside and take part in this Advent scarf knitting. So I would like to finish everything in November, and then I can dedicate myself to the challenging knitting that I know Zemi will have in store for me when I start knitting this Advent scarf. One of the final gifts I'm knitting is the Icarus shawl. It's by Simone Ike, and it's a asymmetrical shawl that I'm really enjoying knitting. I'm using US size 7 circular needles and some chapelle voile in the gradient. It's a gradient that goes from a taupe color into orange and back to taupe, and there's a little bit of a deep grayish brown also. I have 2 skeins of this, almost 600 yards. The pattern calls for a heavier weight yarn and a size 9 needle, but I decided to go with some stashed that I had, and I think that the recipient will really enjoy this colorway, and I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying working on this shawl and seeing how an asymmetrical shawl works out. There are 3 sections to the shawl. There's an increase of 5 stitches every 2 rows. The outside 2 sections of the shawl are in stockinette stitch with 2 different kinds of edging. And then the center portion is in garter stitch. So there's a lot more knitting than there is purling, which makes for a fast knit, relatively speaking. And it's a little bit easier on your hands because you don't have to do those continuous purl back rows. There's that center portion that's always knit. There's some interesting yarn over increases. And the design is really lovely. It calls on this idea of Icarus and flying. And so the whole shawl, when it's complete, looks like a giant wing. Very free form, very interesting. And I'm wondering, if you are what you knit, what this interest in an asymmetrical shawl says about me and my personality. I'm also thinking, as I knit it, about different possibilities of shawl design, because it is something that I would like to do. I think there's that part of each person when you develop your skills in a craft that you start to become impatient with what is presented to you in terms of patterning, and you have a drive to go off and make a design of your own. I don't think I'm quite there yet, but I feel that I'm on the cusp of something with design, and I feel that kind of impatience and that interest in wanting to know what happens and how it happens, rather than just blindly following the pattern. Another pattern that is of great interest to me and is sitting on the front porch right in front of my door is the aggregate shawl designed by Jimenez Joseph. It's an arrowhead shape and it's done in 2 different colors so that you have a mirror effect. The entire shawl is symmetrical, but the way the mirror effect with the 2 colors works, it gives it a little bit of asymmetrical interest, I feel. This would be a pattern I would need to order yarn for, because there's nothing in my quite small stash that would work. It calls for a worsted weight yarn or maybe a sport weight yarn in 2 contrasting colors. And I'm really looking forward to that. Maybe, like I said, this pattern is sitting on my front porch. It's really knocking on the front door, and I need to be careful about keeping my perspective and finishing all of my planned projects before I take up a project that's not really practical for my knitting calendar. On the screen, Samuel and I are very fortunate to live near an independent movie theater. We love going to the movies, and the fall is the most exciting time for films because all of the Oscar-nominated films usually come out at this time of year. And I think I mentioned in a previous episode that we don't have television here at Yin Hu, so we use the movies as our source, our main source of entertainment. One film we saw a few weeks ago is a French film with subtitles. It's called Haute Cuisine, and it focuses on the private chef of François Mitterrand. I believe her name was Danielle Depuch. Although in the film, she has a different name and she's called Hortense. So I think the film is a fictionalization in some ways of a memoir by this woman played by Catherine Froat, who's, oh, she is just an unbelievably beautiful and charming French actress. The food scenes in this film are incredible, and the attention to food and food filming, which is very difficult to do well, is exquisite. You will leave hungry, so I suggest eating well before you go. Another film we saw just this weekend is Enough Said with Julia Louis-Dreyfus and the late James Gandolfini. The film is a romantic comedy, and the reason I bring it up on this podcast is that there's knitting in the film. And in the first scene where Julia Louis-Dreyfus is sitting in the dressing room at this clothing store where other characters are trying on clothes, she's knitting this giant yellow blanket and she's really knitting. I don't think Julia Louis-Dreyfus is a highly proficient knitter. She looks like kind of a beginner. But she's knitting this garter stitch yellow blanket, and it's not just something to fill the screen. The blanket actually has a part to play in the plot of the film, which I won't say anything about because I think you might go to see this film. But while we were sitting in the movies, when that scene came up, Samuel just turned to me and gave me this look. We just looked at each other. I was thinking, oh my God, there's knitting in this film. I'm not sure what he was thinking. But every scene after that, I would be riveted to the screen to see if the knitting would continue and what was going to happen with the knitting. It's really cute the way it works out, and a heartwarming film with some real scenes between middle-aged people who are trying to negotiate love and romance. So I recommend it. Well, we have the winners for our Teacher Tribute Challenge. The first is a project bag from Rock Flower Paper. This is a purchase I made at Rhinebeck, and the winner is Sherry McKinnon. Congratulations, Sherry. Sherry left a very detailed and heartwarming note about her teacher, and I would like to read it on the show. My favorite teacher of all time was Mr. Edward Talley. He was my fifth grade teacher. Fifth grade was a hard year for me. I was dealing with a best friend who was really just a mean girl and having all sorts of self-security issues. I had a passion for animals and reading, and kind Mr. Talley recognized the issues I was having. He had the perfect intervention. He gave me a paperback copy of Watership Down by Richard Adams, and I was taken away into the joyful, social, and sometimes brutal story of life in a rabbit warren that was not so different from life in a fifth grade classroom. It was wonderful to be transported away from my own troubles and to surreptitiously learn some skills to help me in my own situation. I still have that ragged and worn copy of Watership Down, and I wouldn't part with it for a bucket of money. I have never told Mr. Talley how much that kind gesture meant to me, or how it helped me evolve into the person I am now. I have found his address, and 35 years after the fact, will have finally said a well-deserved thank you. Thanks for leaving that very kind tribute to Mr. Talley on the blog, Sherry. The winner of our note cards printed from the batiks of Carol Law Conklin is Sally from Idaho. Sally even made a scrapbook page for her favorite teacher. She loves her to this day. Sherry and Sally from Idaho, please contact me via a personal message on Ravelry with your address information so I can get these prizes out to you. This month we have a new contest. It's a Ravelry contest called Side Dish, and for Ravelry group members, you will see the new contest posted with a sticky link at the top of the page, and you are invited to enter by posting the details of your favorite side dish for the harvest table. Recipes or links to recipes are welcome, and I will be drawing the winner for that prize at the beginning of December. The prize is some lovely yarn in the colorway Cactus Bloom by Patricia of BZB Fibers. Thank you for listening. The music in today's episode is Sweet, music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider leaving a star rating or a review on iTunes. Stay strong and eat well as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Leaves her down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stones to sand. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire, just like Linda Curtis, but out on a wire. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's herb will get you high, till your face a smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.